Amen. Please be seated. Amen. God is so good. Amen. How many of us have enjoyed the conference? Yeah? That should be every hand in the house. You know, God, let's just give God praise for the conference. Thank you, Father. Father, we bless you. Father, thank you, Lord, for all that you have done. Thank you, Father, for all that you are still doing. Father, thank you for what you are going to do. Thank you, Father, because you're taking us from glory to glory, from strength to strength, from faith to faith. Father, Lord, we quiet our hearts today, Father. We open them wide to receive with meekness your engrafted word of truth that is able to save our souls. Father, Lord, I humble myself before you today, Father, that you would take these lips of clay and grant me utterance in the name of Jesus, Father. That you would minister, Lord, to the hearts of your people. Anoint our ears to hear and our hearts to understand what we hear. And we give you all of the glory and we give you all of the praise in Jesus' mighty name. And his people said,
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful privilege to minister the Word of God. And I just want to start with just a little sort of by way of introduction, talking about the conference, because God did so much, yeah? I was saying that every session was like a five-star hotel meal, that, you know, there was a starter, there was a main course, there was a pudding at the end, there was every good thing. Now, who eats sort of those cluster cereal boxes where you've got like some raisins, so a bit of fruit of this in it. You've got some, you know, little bits of all kinds of different things mixed together. Yeah, any fans of sort of like mixed, yeah? A few hands going up, amen. Well, every mouthful was like rich. You know, it was so great what God did in the conference and what he ministered to us. And so I was just blessed through and through. And I remember the... Well, one of the things, there's so much to remember, but one of the things I remember was the Sunday when Sister Jen sang that wonderful song, I Can Only Imagine, I Can Only Imagine, and straight as soon as she started, you know, that song is like, whoa, you know, my heart just leapt. I'm just remember, oh yeah, anybody remember that song?
Yes.
Well, I remember it, and I'm going to tell you why now, because there's a reason to it. And my wife immediately, you know, leapt to her feet because she was so excited as well. You know, there was a season in our house where that was just like my, you know, my favorite song of all time. I Can Only Imagine. It's everywhere. So all the kids, if you ask the kids, what's daddy's favorite song? Oh, I Can Only Imagine. Daddy was playing it in the car, singing it everywhere. And so when Jen began to sing that song, you know, my wife immediately, you know, we're all kind of different. Some of us, like, you're quiet and you're more contemplative and you're in the spirit and you're swinging from side to side. And others of us are, like, more animated and jump up. Well, my wife is more animated. And so, like a shot, Mary was on her feet, jumping up. And I'm thinking, well, it's kind of a slowish kind of song, isn't it? I can only imagine. And you're meant to imagine in heaven and seeing the angels and stuff. And Mary was like, I'm like, whoa, what's she on? Anyway, and there was me like sitting contemplative, just rocking softly, you know, and being soothed by the song. And then all of a sudden, pow, a left hook hit me square in the jaw. Whoa. Now, after I put my jaw back in place, I thought, well, you know, everyone makes it. She didn't know it. No, she was just enjoying the song and, you know, just rocking to the song. And so I was nursing my jaw. She's looking at me now. And I thought, okay, well, just, you know, never mind. And she went like, what would it be like would I dance for you, Jesus? Or in awe of you be still? Pow! Another one. And I thought, whoa! I thought, if I'm not careful, I'm going to be picking up my teeth off the floor. And I remembered Toki and Ronke, because Ronke is quite animated. How many of you know? And I remembered that Toki had this thing where he just give a little pinch, you know, a little pinch of, and that seemed to sort her out. And so I thought, I'll try that. So I went, Mary, didn't hurt. And all of a sudden, guess what? She stopped. And so, then it was all people, and I was back in heaven again, just worshiping, worshiping the Lord. Amen. But praise God. But that's not what I want to talk about today. Amen. Hallelujah. But the conference was wonderful, and one of the things that really blessed my heart was one of the people I invited, a work colleague, you know, she actually works on the reception at my work, and I invited her to come to the conference. And it's quite interesting what happened, because when I first mentioned that we're doing a conference in church and everything, she said, oh, you know, I don't normally go to church, or, well, I do normally go, but not in this country. She's Polish. And so she said, yeah, I'd love to come. And, you know, lots of people say that. How many people have invited people before? And they said, yeah, I'd love to come. And then they don't show. You know, you're thinking, where are they? They never showed up, whatever. But this lady actually came. And it was great because I think she came on the Saturday. Who was, by the way, who was the team, the welcome team, that were on the door on the Saturday afternoon? So late afternoon Saturday, you were welcoming people to come in for the evening session. Who was that? Andrea. Wonderful. And who else? Ludi as well. Okay, you're both probably brilliant, and I can't see you. Oh, there you are. You're over there. I thought it was because you were... No. But, well done. You know, the lady, she said that she was so blessed. She said, you know, when you go to a new place and you're a bit nervous, you're a bit edgy because you haven't been there before, and so you're a bit, you don't know where to go, and you're conscious of the people. She said, well, there was none of that. She said, right from the door, they smiled, they said hello, they welcomed me, and I just felt so at ease. I said, and your church, she said, it's wonderful. Wow, I'm going to come again. So give yourselves a round of applause. Amen. And I want to thank you, and I want to say thank you to basically all the ushering team, because that was just so great what you did. Because, you know, it blessed a whole bunch of people. And so when she came, that was her testimony, that I'm going to come again. And I believe that, you know, that's a seed. That's a seed planted in the heart of somebody that will live on. That seed will be watered, it will grow, and I bet she will come again and reap the blessing of God. Can you shout hallelujah? And so God is so wonderful. But, you know, that's not all. God did something in me personally. And I want to just share this testimony, because I've got the mic now, so I can share my own testimony of what God did. But God did something in my heart. And many of you, you know, were here. How many were here when Kathy Lechner just gave me a word there? But what people didn't know is that doctors had diagnosed that I had... They said that when you're a baby, when you're born, that you have a small... That every baby has a small hole in their heart. But as you grow up, it generally tends to cover over and you're fine. So most people don't even realize that's been the case. And because of some other issues that I had, after some investigations, they said that little hole that I had hadn't actually closed properly, and therefore it was still there. And the theory that doctors were working on was, well, could that have been the cause of some other symptoms and issues that I'd been having? And so... They gave me also, this is just part of it, I mean, tests are still ongoing, but this is kind of a mini testimony, amen? Sometimes we take little steps before we get to the big thing and the final destination. And they gave me, as part of their tests, this heart monitor, and it's meant to be like a three-day heart monitor. They can do them for different lengths of time. I was meant to wear it for 3 days. And I had it on, and it has these little pads, you know, you kind of connect them. No, you connect, you plug them all in and you wear it. And so I had this on my clothes, and I'm like worshiping the Lord and just believing God for every minute and just praising Him anyway. And I wore it throughout, you know, the first day, the second day I had it on. And the second day in the evening late evening, I went home and I just looked at the monitor. You know, I got changed and I looked at the monitor. And it seemed to have stopped working. It said, recordings completed. And I thought, well, no, it's not. It's not supposed to have completed just yet. And I've still got another day to go, but it says it's completed. And so I thought, okay. And then I tried to call the hospital just to get some advice and some guidance as to what to do. Should I just take it off? Whatever, should I, you know, apply for another one? What's happening here? And I phoned up the hospital. I tried to speak to the consultant. Nobody was available. I called A&E. No one seemed to be available. I called everyone that I could think to call and know to do. No one seemed to be available. I just thought, you know, and the word of the Lord came to me and said, well, what have you been believing for? You know, what have you been believing for? I said, Lord, of course, for my full health. And so I just took it off. I said, okay, well, that's it. It's not doing anything anyway, so I'm going to take this off. Right? So I took it off. I just disconnected all the cables and took it off. And I think it was that evening when I came, or the following evening, I actually came to church. Was it that evening? That evening when I came to church, and as we were just worshiping the Lord, the prophet just looked and said, I sense God's healing. What is it? No, and she had to ask me, said, what is it? God's just healed you. Mary's okay. Mary said, your heart has been healed. And I thought, wow, it's been healed. It's been healed. And I thought that connects with the word of the Lord that came to me earlier on, that God has healed you. So I want us to give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah. I want us to say that I'm still going to get the doctor's full confirmation as well on this, amen, because the doctor will just confirm what God has already done. But I believe God, that the same God who parted the Red Sea, the same God who provided manna in the wilderness, the same God who made a roadway in the desert, that same God is my God. Amen. Bible says God is the God of the impossible, that with God all things are possible. But his word says all things are possible to him that believes. And I believe God. Let's give God praise. Hallelujah. 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 God is so good. And you know, there were so many prophetic words. And one of the words that really just stood out to me was when, I think this was Bishop Dwayne Swilly, when he said, he spoke about harvest in the US. Anybody remember that? And he was speaking about them, about how they were small for a period of time. I think he said they were less than the size of Harvest. Is that right, Runke? Approximately, yeah, about less than the size of Harvest Church. And God began to do something, particularly among their young people. And I think he was pastoring the young people at that time and then just began, and they exploded. He said year on year, they grew by 1,000. I thought, wow. That is staggering. That's a staggering number to grow by. Year by year, they grew by 1,000 every year for a certain number of years. So they became about, I don't know, something like 15,000 people strong. You know, God wants to do that, and I'll say, and much more right here in Harvest Church. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. See, our God is the God of the supernatural. Our God is the God of the miraculous. And so if he could cause them to grow year by year, by 1,000 every year. That's, you know, that's truly staggering. And, you know, I had the privilege and the opportunity to be ministering in Life Changers yesterday. Amen. Any Life Changers students in the house? Amen. Praise God. And, you know, I think the subjects that I was given to speak on just dovetailed with what I want to minister on. Because I was teaching on, number one, the Great Commission. Yeah. How many of us understand or know the Great Commission? That's like a typical Pentecostal word that we call it, the Great Commission. But it's our commission, our mandate from God to win souls, to preach the gospel. Amen? And so, because we're called, basically, I was ministering on that. And we used a few video clips as examples. We spoke about some of the generals. We spoke about one particular apostle. We spoke about Smith Wigglesworth, about how he ministered as well and stuff. But what I want to share is that in that, God was speaking to my heart as well. You see, one of the things that we actually spoke about, let me just have a quick... Okay, God gave me this picture of, you know, in the scripture, in the book of Judges, I think it's Judges and chapter 4. Sorry, Judges and chapter 15. If we can have that up on the screen. Judges chapter 15 and verses 4 to 5. And this is a story where Samson basically tied torches to the tails of foxes. It says, then Samson went and caught 300 foxes and he brought them back and tied the torches to their tails. Okay, and he puts, okay, torches to the tails. Okay, torches to the tails of each of them. Sorry, my eyes, I need to wear my glasses even to see that properly. But this is what the picture that God gave me, that it was like if each of us has a torch, the torch of the gospel tied to our tails, we run out into the world, amen, and we preach the gospel to every creature. We're going to set the world on fire with the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God said that's the mandate that he's given us. You know, Prophet Dwayne said the mandate was to communicate the gospel and to demonstrate the power. Everyone say that. Communicate the gospel and demonstrate the power. Now say it with conviction like you mean it. Communicate the gospel and demonstrate the power. See, that's the call of God that is upon us. And I receive that as a new mandate for myself and for us as a church. That God has given us a new mandate to communicate this glorious gospel of Jesus Christ and to demonstrate the power. You see, just even in that simple thing of sharing with the secretary or with the receptionist at work, it's communicating the gospel. When things happen to us, it becomes our testimony. Amen? And there's a demonstration of God's power. You see, everything that we go through in life provides us with a platform. I love the example that Bishop gave when he showed us the various platforms that were in the life of Moses. That throughout his life, even from when he was, when he killed the Egyptian, he had to flee from the land and he was out in the wilderness. Everything that happened in his life was a platform. I love the story of Joseph, betrayed by his brothers, thrown down into a pit, sold into slavery. Then he got into Potiphar's house. Then he was accused of raping Potiphar's wife. Then he was put in prison again. And you can see the ups and downs that he went through in life. Amen? Amen. How many of you go through ups and downs in your life? Yeah. It's every single one of us. Me too. All of us go through issues in our lives. And so whether it's a physical thing to do with your health, whether it's to do with your children, whether it's to do with your place of work or business, whatever it is, whatever challenges there are, guess what? Each one of those challenges are platforms that you stand on. And as you work through those challenges, as you work through those different platforms, then there's opportunity for the glory of God, for the gospel to shine forth. Amen? I said there's opportunity for the gospel to be manifest through your life. And so every opportunity is a blessing. Amen? Every opportunity that you have, everything that happens, every event in your life is an opportunity for the blessing of God to be demonstrated. Amen. Will you give God praise? Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. You know, God is so good. God is so wonderful. And another thing that we're speaking about, at Life Chat, I was saying that what would the video or the picture of our lives look like? So, if you were the fly on the wall and observing your life, see, the saints that we spoke about have gone ahead now, and they've gone before us, and they're up in glory. The Bible says that we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, amen? And, they are cheering us on from the grandstands of heaven right now. But we're here on earth, amen? We're still walking our walk, and we can look back to what they did. We can look back to their victories, to their struggles, to their battles that they went through. We can look back at those and say, that's how to do it. Can our children coming up look forward to us and say, wow, that's how daddy did it. That's how mommy did it. That's how they overcame in this situation or in that situation or in that particular circumstance. You know, we need to be living, breathing testimonies. Can I have 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 2. See, Paul said this to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and the second verse. He said, "You are our epistles, written in our hearts, known and read by all men." You are our epistles. I said that, you know, not all of us can necessarily feel called to a pulpit ministry. Amen? Amen. But your life should preach. Your life should be a message. God is able to take your mess and make it into a message. God is able to take your test and turn it around into a testimony. And so Paul was saying to the Corinthian church that you are our epistles, or you are our letters of commendation. You are our written letters. So not written with ink, but written on the fleshy tables of your hearts. And so this is the plan and the purpose of God, that he wants to write his message to the world on your heart. He wants to write his message to the world with the story of your life. That your life story will become a testimony that encourages someone else. That your life story will become a blessing to somebody else. Can you say amen? Amen. And so that's the plan and the purpose of God. And so we need to keep on keeping on. We need to fight, put it this way, you need to fight the good fight. But it says fight the good fight of faith. And so it's a faith fight. You could say this way, that faith is a fight. And it's a fight that each one of us has to fight every single day. The Bible says it's not by power, not by might, but it's by his spirit. It's by the spirit of the living God. And so we've all been called to fight that faith fight. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
And want to just say that, I'd say, my wife would actually, you know, she would say, you know, someone said, you need to, who can remember that time when we're actually told to ask somebody close to you, for what is good about you, what's good in you, to say something good about you, tell you what you're getting right. You know, it's too many times we're champions of being someone else's critic. Sometimes I think the prophet said that we can be our own greatest critic. Amen? But we need to put our praise clothes on. We need to look for the best in people. You know, the word says that love thinks the best of every person. Amen? Not the worst, but the best. And so my wife would speak the best of me. So I would ask her, what's good that you see in me? Your children should be able to see what's good in you, in your life. You know, what about in your place of work and business? They should be able to see what's good in you, that you are a blessing to them. What about in your neighborhood? What would your neighbors say if I asked them, how is so-and-so as a neighbor? Do you throw, like, your rubbish into their bins when they're not looking? What would other road users say who share the road with you? Is he a good driver? You know, I remember a time once when I was literally tailgating someone. I was in a rush, rushing to get to work. And there was another car. How many, whenever you're in a hurry, it always seems to be the time when there's a learner on the road or a big truck doing 20 miles an hour. And we kind of live and I was taking this little country road. It goes through lots of little farms, etc. And I was late for work. My fault. But there was this big, big truck. Just, the guy driving a tractor, and I think, oh my goodness, not today. Driving up close to him. And eventually I managed to overtake him. And then there was someone else who was just doing probably doing the speed limits of about 30 down the road. But I wanted to do 35, 40 even, So they're in front of me. So I was like right on their tail, pushing it. I'm like, oh, come on, get the message. Don't they know that I'm in a hurry? Anyway, it turned out, yeah, and you kind of think that, okay, the next turning, they're going to turn off, and then you can really step on it and go on. But they didn't. They carried on. And then I thought, the next turn, surely they're going to turn off now, and then I can just step on it. But they didn't. They carried on. Guess what? They were going to the same place that I was. So when I finally pulled up and parked, and it was a lady, she came out and said, "So are you going to drive sensibly now?" Talk about, I felt I was this small instantly. You could have shrunk me, put me in a matchbox, and put me in your pocket. My ego, my self-esteem just minimized instantly. But it's good training, amen?
Amen.
Guess what? So guess who's going to be out of the door early, on time, amen? So I actually learned that to be on time, actually you need to plan to be early, then you'll be on time. Plan to be on time, and chances are you could be late. That's right. That was a lesson that I learned. Plan to be early, and you'll be on time. Plan to be on time, and it's possible that you could be late. So I learned that. But so many lessons, just from the everyday, ordinary things of life. In my own family, I like to give examples with my family. Because, you know, that's real. You know, you can be a superstar to everybody else. But right at home, they get to see the real you. Amen? And hopefully we're all on a journey where the real you comes out more and more and more and more. But, you see, so little things, just how you speak and how you communicate to others. So there can be a harshness sometimes in tones. But sometimes they say it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. Amen? We can all relate to that. And so many times, you know, the number of times I've spoken to my kids and I've said something that it's correct in itself, but it's the how that you said it. It's the how you said it. And my wife Mary has corrected me and said, "You could have said that differently. You could have said that like this." You know, the Bible says there's him who speaks and it's like the piercings of a sword. Amen? I like to use my wife as the example because she's quite good at what she does in terms of making those little adjustments in me. How many men you can take a correction from your wife? It can be a challenge, can't it? Yeah? I want some support from the guys, yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you, brothers. I'm feeling you. Yeah. It's not easy. It's not always easy. But the Bible says, submit to one another. Submit to one another. Sometimes we like to hear it just one way, that you must submit. You must obey. But submit to one another, the scripture says. And so I've learned to be submitted. I've learned to listen. Someone said God gave us two ears and just one mouth so that we can hear twice as much. Amen? We can hear what we need to hear. Sometimes there are hard things, there are tough things that we need to hear, and we're not too good at listening. So we need to become good listeners. No, we need to hear the people God places in our lives to speak into our lives. See, relationship is very important. It's very important to God. And so God places children, for example, in families so that they can have the benefit of a mother and a father and grow up in the fear and in the nurture of the Lord. God connects us with people. So often you'll find husband and wife, they're very different in mannerism and very different in character. But there's a method to the madness, if you like. There's a reason that God connects you with the people he's connected you to. So if you've got a godly home, a godly marriage, then chances are God will put you with the right person for you. Amen? To speak, to be able to speak and minister into your life. And so Mary has spoken and ministered into my life many times. So even when I don't appear to have listened, you know, sometimes you kind of go away and you think about what's been said. You know that replay button, the rewind and replay, it's rewinding and it's replaying in your head. And you hear it. And you hear that word of correction. You hear that word that makes you make a small adjustment. And so I want to encourage us today. We've been called. And I want us to receive that mandate. That mandate to communicate the gospel and to demonstrate the power of God. Amen. To communicate the gospel, you see, in just natural, everyday ways. You know, so many times, it's the little things that communicate the gospel, that communicate who you really are. Sometimes, you know, you can just be holding the door open for somebody. You know, I had this friend where somebody opened the door, he would just jump through and just carry on walking. He didn't know any better. So someone holds the door open, he just jumped through, and the door smacks the next person in the face. But it's the little things. It's the small things. Communicate the gospel and demonstrate the power. You see, and the power, it's not always shandai praying and somebody falling over. Sometimes they're falling over for the wrong reasons. Hopefully you brushed your teeth. Haven't knocked them down. But the power, you know, there's the power of love. I believe that the power of love is manifested in this church every Sunday. And it's not just when you hug people and say hello when you're told to do it, but in the little things that we do, the little things that you do every day. So if you're at the cafe, you can wait your turn and allow somebody else to go before you, just to be courteous to another person. Just leaving to say hello or goodbye to someone else. Or you didn't see a friend and you phoned them up and said, hey, I didn't see you. Is everything okay? Now, I had a brother who was in hospital, and I actually neglected to call because I didn't hear till late, but I asked him afterwards. So you hear that someone's ill, do you call them? Do you visit them? There are so many ways in which we can communicate and which we can demonstrate our love for people. And I believe that God has called each and every one of us to do that, to be doers of his word, not just hearers only, the Bible says, but to be doers of this word that we hear. You know, we've received so much. And I think that it's in the next days and weeks and months and maybe even years to come that we will just fully see the impact and the explosion of what God has done in our lives. Amen. Amen. Can we stand to our feet?